Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about something that is, well, I think it's going to be good to listen to about for more than one reason. We are in a very unique cycle at this time. You hear the term severe recession and all kinds of things that are going on. Well, why not take an attitude of being able to work with your life in a very positive way and take advantage of whatever opportunities might be with you right here, right now. My guest today, Dr. Nathaniel Williams, we're going to be talking about his book, The Affordability Factor, The Four C's of Change. Dr. Williams, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you have got quite a background. You have got a wonderful education regarding human services from the Lincoln University of Pennsylvania, and you got your Master's of Public Administration from the Cheney University of Pennsylvania, and you got an MBA as well from the Strayer University, and a doctorate in education at Fielding Graduate University in Educational Leadership and Change. You're a man that really has a passion about encouraging people to go for what is their goal in their lives, but you feel like you have to be very grounded and very down to earth in working with them. You've written other books. Why did you feel that it was necessary to talk about the affordability factor? That's an intriguing title. What made you choose that?
Well, the affordability factor as a title was chosen because I think that so often we have to look at things through that lens. It's truly, can I afford to do what I want to do? And so, and also sometimes to look at, can other people afford me? And
mm-hmm.
So reality is it's just recognizing that it is somewhat of a transaction, and we have to figure out whether we're affordable to it and whether it is affordable of us. And just keeping that in mind, I think just as a mindset, I think changes a lot of the things that we do if we really try to do the math in looking at a situation to see if it adds up.
Now, I want my listeners to know that you were raised in the New York City foster care system. Your mother died when you were 5 years of age, and you had siblings. There were a total of 11 of you.
12 altogether.
12, I beg your pardon.
Right.
12 altogether. So you've gone through what I call the school of hard knocks,
for sure.
And you have seen a lot of things, yet your determination of getting your education and being able to make your life something that is of value and a demonstration to others has been very, very important. When you were, let's step back a little bit, when you were growing up and you and your family had to be in this foster care system, where did you get grounded in the working with the basics of education, and what motivated you to reach for that? Was there someone in particular that inspired you?
Donna, it really was a moment. And the moment was I was sitting on the front steps of the administration building of the agency in which I was living. And the executive director, a wonderful, wonderful, kind nun, Sister Mary Patrick, came down and saw me sitting there and said, "You're a little bit sad," and said, "Let me get something for you," and went downstairs to the storeroom and came up, struggling to bring me a bicycle, and gave me a bicycle. And for the moment, and I was maybe about 10 or 11 years old, and for the moment, I was happy. But for whatever reason, an insight came over me that if I wasn't careful, that was going to be the rest of my life, sitting and waiting for others to do for me rather than me doing for myself. And if I was going to let the circumstance of my mother's death and being in placement lead my life, I was going to have some challenges. So on that very day, I started signing my name, Nathaniel J. Williams, Executive Director, because that was Sister Mary Patrick's title.
Wow.
And I was 11 or 12 years old. Because I practiced that for 13, 14 years, by the time I was 26, that was my official title. So for me, it was that moment of recognizing I just had enough. I was tired of being tired. I was tired of being sorry. And I had to do something. And it took a lot of hard work to make that happen. But I believe very strongly, Donna, if we don't write it, it's never going to happen. And so for me, just practicing that signature allowed for it to eventually become something that was true.
That is quite significant, because there is that hand-brain connection.
Sure.
That I've been aware of for many, many years. And when you utilize it, it is really effective. It's like an artist with
sure.
a paintbrush, and you're painting what you feel,
sure.
and it's there. It's a reality. So for you to write that, and you were only 10, 11 years old when this hit you,
sure.
that's quite a revelation. That's quite
and
an accomplishment.
And one of the things that I work with people on is to try to understand that the premise of the affordability factor is that we're stuck in moments that have been very challenging for us for a long period of time, and we touch everything from that moment. And what I mean for that as an example, as you said, my mother died when I was 5 years old. That's a very traumatic thing for a person
mm-hmm.
to experience. And unbeknownst to me, for 30-plus years, Donna, I stood at the foot of my mother's casket, and I didn't realize I was standing there. And you could see the rage, the anger, the hostility, especially when I experienced challenges, and something told me that reality is I have to get out of that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have experienced so many hardships in their life, and they're standing in those moments, paying homage to those moments sometimes for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they touch everything from that standpoint, and it contaminates so many different parts of your life. So as you said, Donna, the title of the book is the Affordability Factor, the Four C's of Change. And so the premise is we have to work on changing our concepts, which will then influence our changing of our communication, which will then influence the change of our ability to collaborate with other people, which will change the consequences that we're willing to tolerate. So again, it's our concepts impact our communications, that impact our collaborations, that impact our consequences. So if I could change my concept about that moment that my mother died and left me and my brothers and sisters behind, if I could change that concept, it was going to change the outcome of my life. So what I call that in the book is reframing the way I looked at that. And what I did in reframing, Donna, just as a quick example, is a friend of mine sent me a PowerPoint video that talked about life being a train ride. And about the third or fourth slide, it said that your parents are with you for as long as you need them. And I had never heard anything as tough as that when it comes to comes to talking about your parents. But
mm-hmm.
I embraced it. And I said, you know what? Reality is, whatever the case is, she's not here any longer, and I'm going to have to find another way to look at it. And so I kept playing with it, and I said, you know what, this train idea is a pretty good one. And I said, you know what, I'm going to, instead of being at the foot of my mother's casket, I'm going to recognize that she's on a train ride with me. And my goal is to take her some places that she expected to go and some places that she couldn't imagine. And that liberated me. It doesn't make a difference if there's a headstone, a death certificate that says something different. In my mind, I'm on a journey, and I want to make her proud of where I'm going, and I also want to impress her with some of the things. And that has been such a tremendous filter, because if that's what I'm doing with my life, as an example, you know, cheating on my wife, that's not an option. Abusing
mm-hmm.
my children, not an option. So, you know, stealing any money, that's not an option. So it's a mindset and a filter that allows me to do some marvelous things with my life, as opposed to feeling very sorry for myself. And again, using that metaphor, standing at the foot of my mother's casket, a lot of things can be done from that standpoint of hurt and pain and anger, where, again, if I'm on a train ride and that spotlight is on, wherever I go, it filters out a lot of stuff that shouldn't be in my life.
You say affordability is by no means restricted to the financial realm, and
sure.
That is a very good statement. Rather, it is a process that we must apply to all of our
sure.
decisions. I think that this is something, if we're able to learn it when we're young, we have a tremendous advantage.
Oh,
and
sure.
obviously, you went through a lot of your own changes and your thought processes. And in doing this, you took on personal responsibility for this. You didn't play a blame game,
right.
which I think is very significant. And I think you had a level of maturity that was something you were very fortunate to have. But you go into, you just talked about reframing, and you talk about how it is in the eye of the beholder. So we have to be able to create that reframing in a picture that's comfortable for us, just like this image of the train
mm-hmm.
was very comfortable for you. So all of us have to look at how we want to reframe, because I agree. There are so many people as a counselor that I have interacted with through the years, and I have found that they were stuck, maybe not at a casket, maybe it was at a high school prom, maybe
sure.
it was something else, maybe it was someone making a horrible criticism of them, and they're just frozen in time. And it's that kind of an issue that can really paralyze someone for a long time, and they don't realize that they are stuck in that way. And that, I know a woman in her 80s who is still stuck in issues
sure.
that you would have thought she would have been able to dump, but she doesn't know how. She cannot reframe the picture. It's really very tough for her. It's very, very tough. Now, let's talk about challenging that. If someone really has someone bring to the forefront, this is where you're stuck. Or you ask the question, where do you think you're stuck? Why do you think you have these issues? This is something that you enjoy working with. What is a most significant experience, whether it's yours or someone else you worked with, that you'd like to share with my audience to get this concept across?
Sure. And what's exciting about it, Radhana, is that so often our concepts that we have are either liberating or incarcerating. And it's so wonderful for people to find a way to concepts that liberate them and just give them some room to spread out and to really come into that full silhouette of a person that they were meant to be. And so that's the beauty of it. And there was just one example of a young man whose parents got divorced when he was in his teens. And he was forced to be what I call parentified. He was forced to grow up. He was forced to become the father and the male figure of the house. And it caused a lot of issues for him, you know, when
mm-hmm.
others' kids were out playing and he was out working and he was out doing other things because he was serving as somewhat of a stand-in parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused him a lot of challenges. He found his way into some gangs. He found his way into some drugs. He found his way into some law enforcement issues because he was making some very bad choices because he wasn't really developing the kinds of things that he needed to develop. And so he ran into some real challenges. But when he was 30, mom and dad remarried.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And so he was so full of so much anger that he went through so much because of that event, and then for them to come back together. How he reframed that event was that he recognized that he thought that his life was going to be like a minivan ride where everybody was going to be in the van and he wasn't whole until everybody was in the van. And
mm-hmm.
he reframed it to recognize that he is a NASCAR driver and that race has to be driven by just him. And the celebration with others, whether he wins or loses, will be at the end of him running that race, but he has to complete the race and get to the end. And so for him, that was a way to liberate the way he had saw and with the things that he expected to happen in his life. And as you said, Donna, for different people, they'd have to do different, have to take different concepts, different analogies, different metaphors. For some, it's been a song, a verse in a song, a title of a song, that has made a world of difference, for them. So, as you said, Donna, it has to speak to the person, but once it does, Donna, that you can see the light in their eyes, it changes them almost instantaneously. You then see where they're able to begin to process things so differently. And the beauty of it is when they're able to start sharing with others what that situation was, and how they're reframing it and what their challenge is, and when they're in that moment, what people can do to help them come out of those moments. So the transparency that sets in, it's just amazing. And I just finished a weekend retreat with some of our leadership team at the agency I work, and we went through this entire process, and the difference that it makes, you know, it's just enormous. That people, I think we live in a society, and a lot of us are in intimate relationships with people, we really don't know them. And mm-hmm. sometimes people will say to me, I have no idea what if my significant other had a challenging life event, I don't know. And sometimes you're talking to someone who's been married 20, 30, 40 years, and they're saying, I don't know. And so I can tell you, in this recent example, it has made a whole difference in how the team works. And we had, you know, one example of one gentleman that had gone through a separation and a divorce from his wife, but was still wearing his wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the group had a chance to talk and process, and right in the middle of the conversation, he took off the wedding ring. And that was the first time in 3 years since the divorce that he was able to do that. But he was able to share that, I held on to that because my mother and father almost divorced, and I promised myself that I was going to do better. And he felt somewhat like a person who didn't meet the challenge, and that's why he was holding on to something that wasn't true. But the group was able to share with him, until you take that off, you're not going to allow yourself to welcome the next chapter in your life, because people will look at your hand and assume that that's not a chapter mm-hmm. that they're supposed to be involved. So again, the beauty that comes from those circumstances is just enormous, and that's why I enjoy the process of helping people get out of their own way, because what's on the other side is sometimes not even imaginable to us. You know, I think we can imagine a fraction of what could potentially happen, and what does happen is just enormous.
Absolutely, and that brings out an aspect, and you mentioned this in your book, about cultural background. And I have found in my conversations with literally thousands and thousands of people through the years that that has quite an impact. And cultural patternings shift, no matter where they are in the world or in a society. And it is very traumatic. And when people go through that, it's sometimes very, very terrifying to them to have to go through a shift. And like you said, making shifts or reframing things so that it empowers you. It doesn't disempower you. It empowers you so you recognize choice. It's liberating. I think of someone that I've been aware of for a number of years that keeps creating boxes for themselves to take residence in. They are extremely brilliant. This individual is very, very brilliant. Yet, this individual will continuously put themselves into a box of attitude, alienating people around them, and they will find all kinds of variables, and they'll stay with it for 4 or 5 years, and then all of a sudden they make a shift. So people around them just got to say, okay, this is another shift. This is what we're going to go through. It's almost like they're not willing to grow up into who they really are. They're terrified of doing that self-exploration. And it is a challenge. And life has a way, I've often said for years, and this was said to me many years ago, if you're not willing to learn from life, life has a way of kicking you in the seat of the pants so you get your attention. But sometimes we choose not to let our attentiveness work for us. We come from a positioning of fear rather than awareness that we have choice. None of us are problem free. When you're working with people and they come in and they are doing the blame game, what do you say to them?
Well, Donna, what a lot of times I find is the blame game plus the wonder game.
And what I try
to do is to say there's not much mileage that's going to be gotten regarding the blame game. It is not going to be much mileage, spending a lot of time wondering why you, why me, why my circumstance. I really try to work with people to come up with declarative statements within the things that they can control. A lot of times the blaming is outside of you, there's someone else, the wondering is outside of you, it's someone else. But for the things that you're responsible for, that you're accountable for, what can you do with the resources that you have? Again, those things that are outside of your control, you have to leave them under the control of who they belong to. But there's so much that we have. And just trying to internalize that homework, instead of giving homework assignments for everybody else, let's start with you first. And a lot of times by doing that, you motivate others to start doing things a little differently. But you know, one of the things that came to mind as you were talking, Donna, is something that someone shared with me that I'm sure you've heard many times over, is that we're as sick as our secrets. And what we really do have to do is to work very hard to address our secrets so that they don't make us someone that is very, very toxic.
That is an excellent quote, because many times it's those secrets that create such complex problems for people.
Sure.
And they just, it's just horrible. And that brought to mind someone, she's passed away now, but a woman that I knew that we were having lunch together, and I'd known her for years. She breaks down into tears, and I hear a story, a horrific story of terror and abuse that she had experienced when she was quite young. And she had just held it inside for so long. And yet it had colored her in so many ways. And there was nothing she could have done to really prevent what had been done to her. She escaped the situation. But the reality was, is that she had kept it in her mental closet, her emotional closet, for so long that it disabled her in being able to resolve many situations that were in her life. And a lot of the things that she would evolve into in the way of conditions and situations. And when I heard that, I had a complete understanding of where she was. It was amazing.
Right.
But she had to speak it. She had to bring it out. But then she turned away, and she locked it back up inside of herself again. And you're right. Secrets create sickness. They do.
And Donna, one of the things that we do in lots of different exercises, and there's several different worksheets in the book as well, is really get people to look closely as to how that challenging life event is showing up today.
Mm-hmm.
And once people see that, oh, you know what, it's showing up in my health. It's showing up in how I put together my family and friends. It's showing up in my finances. It's showing up, you know, in my personal development. It's showing up in the way I recreate. So once people start, it's showing up in my spirituality or lack thereof. So once people realize how much they're giving to that moment in time, the decades, the number of relationships, the amount of money, when people begin to realize how much they've afforded that event to consume their life, I haven't met a person yet that hasn't said enough is enough. Once they see that, it is in a way that makes sense to them, it creates a mandate for change that is very, very clear. And that's been the beautiful part. And so for some people, they look at it through the lens of maturity versus immaturity. Some people look at the lens versus being rational or irrational. But once they find a lens that makes sense to them, it makes it real, real clear. And that's what I think our job as a counselor is to leave no one behind. And failure is not an option. And boy, as you know, Donna, it makes our job very difficult when we
mm-hmm.
have that as a mandate. But what's there on the other side and the difference it makes in the life of the person you're dealing with and probably 10 other people because of their view of the world has changed, that is the most beautiful part to see. And they're off and running, and you know that they're positively contaminating people in a way, and the work that you're doing has an impact far greater than just that person. That's the wonderful part of being able to help people, is that you touch people that you will never see.
That is the truth. It really, really does have that kind of an effect. And you have also in your book a very upbeat, and that is why I think it's so good to discuss this today. The future is bright. And we are pummeled so frequently with what is not working that it's so easy to slip into a conspiracy theorist attitude where, why should I even bother to do anything because this is the way it is, blah, blah, blah. Well, all it takes is one individual or one action, and you're going to have a different set of circumstances.
Sure.
And that is so important. And you bring that out in your book, The Affordability Factor, and I think that that is really important. Because I don't know of any generation that hasn't had, I call it crap, dumped on them. I don't know of any of them, anywhere in the world, period.
One of the things, Donna, that is so important, and I think I had a chance to speak to some 10-year-old kids, and I talked about the word resilience. And boy, did those kids get that word like I've never seen before. And I think so often we say, okay, we'll save that word for when they get into 10th grade or later. But I saw the difference that they heard that word and understood mm-hmm. that if they can get that in their mind, that reality is I got to get up differently. And that's what it means to me, resilience. It's not that you get up, but that you get up differently, whether you succeed or that you're challenged, is that you get up with that intelligence of that moment and you go on. And Donna, just along the lines of what you were just saying, is that the world we live in, I believe, uses four, you know, what I call the four C's of oppression. We talked about earlier the four C's of change. The four C's of oppression are they use conflicts, controversies, gossip, demonstrate control issues, or get into comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I would challenge any of your listeners to watch TV tonight, to read the paper, and not find one, if not all, of those things at play. Again, conflicts, controversies, control issues, or comparison. There is no reality TV show that's going to be on that's not fostering those four things at any given moment. And sometimes you can watch an innocent Pepsi commercial, mm-hmm. and they're using the same premises. We have to recognize that these oppressive acts are the thing that fuels a lot of our relationships. One of my students, when I was sharing this last semester, said, you know what? I'm 50-something years old, and I prided myself for the last 30 years to have a nightly telephone call with my sisters so that we stayed in contact with each other. But now that you just shared those four C's of oppression, I realize that's all we talk about every single night.
Mm-hmm.
We gossip. So it's just amazing how even in love sometimes we use, you know, a comparison, or sometimes we get into commanding others, or that we're fostering a conflict between this person versus that person. So I think if we can say to ourselves, now that we know what to call it, now we can see it, now we can extrapolate it from our life so that we're not fostering that kind of oppression. And again, we want to foster change, and change is done by sharing concepts, communicating, collaborating, and then agreeing on the consequences that we're all going to work for. And reality is this has to happen because a mandate for change has been created, and that's sometimes where creativity is needed, is how do we create that mandate for change that's sustained. You know, I was talking to someone about Haiti, and they were asking me to comment on the kids for adoption and share my thoughts. And one of the things that I, you know, highlighted for them is that as a society, we have to find a way to consistently care, not care in response to, in a reaction to a circumstance, because in Haiti's situation, Katrina's situation, and so many other situations, it's that consistency in our care that's going to solve the problem. Our spontaneous reaction to it is not going to do anything, because these are problems that have gone on for a long time for that country, but also for our own life, that we have to recognize we have to consistently pay attention to these issues. I have to be mindful of my challenging life event almost every waking moment, and it's not a burden. It's just that's part of me caring for myself to say, you know what, I don't want to stand in my way, because very often the only person standing in my way is me, and if I can embark on an effort to not do that and then have others in fellowship with me that are going to help me to do that, it really makes life very enjoyable.
Well, Dr. Williams, we have run out of time here. I do want to let my listeners know that they can find out more about your book, The Affordability Factor, The Four C's of Change, by going to www.affordabilityfactor.net. Again, that's affordabilityfactor.net. Dr. Williams, I'm so glad you were able to be with us today.
Sure.
Congratulations on your successes, and may you
continue
to enjoy your publishing. And also, I understand you're a talk show host as well.
Yes, in the Philadelphia market on Monday nights at 8:30. So,
well,
I'm so glad
that you were able to extend your knowledge in that way.
And Donna, thank you. Dan, I want to thank you so much for what you do. It's really making a difference, and I just encourage you to keep it up. So thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, Dr. Williams.
Sure.
This is Donna Siebel. Don't forget, go to his website, theaffordabilityfactor.net. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. 400 exhibits, free samples, and best of all, shopping with fabulous women's show specials. Meet Amy Roloff from Little People Big World and cosmetic cop Paula Begon. Bring your questions to Hollywood celebrity stylist and creator of Wynn Hair Care Products, Chaz Dean. Make it a point to attend our free seminars and be inspired by topics that can change your life, like channeling your inner strength, weight loss strategies, and women's self-defense. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney. And backed by popular demand, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Favorite authors Ann Rule and J.A. Jantz. The Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health. March 5th through 7th at Quest Field Event Center. Sponsored by Bartell Drugs, American Family Insurance, Puget Sound Energy, Snoqualmie Casino, The Seattle Times, and King 5. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a call and chat, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'm hearing from some of you regarding some of your paranormal experiences. For those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you know that I've been putting out a request that if you've had a special ghost experience or you have had something unique in the way of a paranormal experience, astral projection, near death, etc., I'd love to hear your story. I am putting together a book, and we're going to be working on this year. And so by next year, we're hoping to have at least 100 stories, dreams, anything that has been in your experience that had an effect on you that was quite significant. I want to hear about your story. So you can send it to me via email to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. Or you can send it to me via snail mail. And you can send it to the Donna Siebel Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. And the reason I want to put the book together is that I think the more that we're able to share information about experiences, the better it is, because sometimes people have experiences of their own and they're frightened by them, and they shouldn't be. So I'll be sharing some of mine in the book, and I can also share yours. So be sure to send that along to me. You also heard the ad regarding the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. This fabulous event, which is coming up in just a few weeks, March 5th, 6th, and 7th. I'm participating in it. On Friday, March the 5th, I'm going to be presenting a six-speaker forum that is just going to be absolutely wonderful. I'll be interviewing, and you'll have a chance, if you're part of the audience, to talk with these women who are very knowledgeable in their area of expertise. In the first hour, we'll be discussing money. The second hour, we'll be talking about energy healing. In the third hour, we'll be related to the care and well-being for animals. So it's really a pleasure to be able to host these wonderful ladies and to be able to have them as our guests at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Also, I'm going to be in booth number 407. I will be available for many consultations during the entire weekend. Stop by, say hello. We're going to have a special drawing, too. Oh, yes. So you'll have to come to the show to find out what that's going to be. So I hope that you will come by. Again, that's the Northwest Pacific, the Pacific Northwest, excuse me, Women's Show, March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Check their website, northwestwomenshow.com, and you'll get all of the special details. Okay, and again, if you want to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, the Chinese New Year, we have got some information here on Chinese horoscopes. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if you're familiar with Chinese astrology, you know that animals are and different critters are associated with certain times during the astrological Chinese chart. And this is the year of the tiger. This is the year of the tiger. So what that would be if you were born in 1926, 1938, 1950, 1962, 1974, 1986, 1998, or this year, the year 2010. Well, if you are a tiger, you epitomize passion and power, you love luxury and will work hard to achieve the very best in life, and you are a loyal soul to your friends and family. Now, what's going to be ahead for this year of 2010? Well, you're breaking free. You are reframing some old routines. You are going to work at building new relationships, and if there's one that's been posing difficulties for you, well, you're going to find a way to be able to heal that relationship that maybe has not been going so well, and you are the soul of adventure if you're born under the sign of the tiger. You want career opportunities. You like challenges. You thrive on dealing with problem solving. So that's a part of you that is extremely powerful. So if you were born in any of the years I mentioned, and if you've had a baby that was born under the sign of the tiger, well, the sign of the tiger represents a lot of power, a lot of energy, and a willingness to go it alone if necessary. Now, let's go on to those that were born under the sign of the rabbits, those cute little fuzzy things, 1927, 1939, 1951, 1963, 1975, 1987, 1999. That is your Chinese sign, a rabbit. You are a natural diplomat. Also, you're a born romantic. And you've got a knack with money. You can make a penny do a tap dance, and you also know how to make businesses successful and make a good profit. You love to try things that have not been tried before. Now, what's going to happen for you this year? Because in the year of the tiger, the rabbit is going to find a voice of its own. You're going to discover you want to restyle yourself, maybe not just in career, but maybe on a personal level, and could be something with your home, but you are going to really want to implement a change. You want to make sure that people see you in a different light, and that's because you're going to be looking at yourself differently. You're coming aware are coming into being aware of who you really, really are. So it's a powerful year for you. Now, what if you were born in the year 28, 40, 52, 64, 76, 88, or the year 2000? Well, I'll tell you what, you're born under the sign of the dragon. That's a powerful sign, too. You like to have change in your life. You like learning new things. And you try to look on the bright side, and, well, you just have seemingly unlimited energy. You've got new horizons right in front of you. The year of the tiger is bringing a lot for you to enjoy. You're going to have a can-do spirit, and because of this tremendously powerful, energetic year, you're going to advance your own learning, your own education. You're going to expand your horizons. And that's going to be in whatever way you choose, whether you go back to school, decide to do something different, self-educate, it doesn't make any difference. You are going to really want to exercise your brain. What a great time to do it. You're going to find people wanting you in their environment because you are doing what you need to do. Well, those are three signs of the Chinese horoscope for the year 2010. And tomorrow we'll do the snake, the horse, and the sheep. Yes, we'll do that. This is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me. 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to share something with you because I've had some experiences with sales, and if you're like me, you always like to keep your eyes open for a bargain. Have you ever gone to what you thought was really going to be a cool sale, and you found that what was being promoted wasn't for real? Well, I've got a girlfriend that just absolutely loves to shop till she drops, and she is one of the most resourceful people, and she just has these fingers that fly over computer keys and whizzes around on the Internet, and she just has a wonderful time. But she has learned how to use the Internet as an informational tool to find the resources that are going to serve her best. And she called me last week and she said, oh, you know that item that you wanted? And I said, oh, yeah. She said, well, check this out. Go to this place because this is going to be better than this. And she was naming major stores. She said, go to this particular store instead of this one, and this one. Because this one's having a sale, but the quality of the material you're looking for is going to be better at this other store. She went on and on and on. It was less than 3 minutes. She gave me all kinds of resources to work with and information that I just hadn't had the time to research. Well, this is one of her skills. She's really good at this. So I have got a couple of tips on how to be alert to bargains, and maybe if you're one of these people that's always looking for that special good deal, this will help you to avoid those sales you really don't want to be bothered with. So we're taking a break in just a moment. If you want to chat, I'm right here for you, 888-815-9756. And also, I'll give you some tips here on shopping. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay, you want to go shopping, you love sales, and you either see an ad somewhere, maybe you get a notice that it's coming through your computer, however it is, there is a bargain on. Well, you have to be a little bit savvy because lots of times there are these ads for buy one, get one free. And it sounds good, but many times stores will increase prices so that you're still spending the fair market value. So what you might want to do is set a minimum amount of purchases in order to maybe get some savings that the stores, really, they want you to buy a lot more than what you need. So you'll be better off if you wait for a regular sales event when you find prices at the actual lowest cost. And something, too, that I have discovered when I've been out shopping, because there are certain things that I like to stockpile or to buy when I know they are going to be at a better price when there are these quote-unquote sales. And I've found many times at the big box stores that they will say they're giving you a bargain, but sometimes your local stores that are right in your own neighborhood, if you're aware of when sales are going on or when they're going to happen, you actually might save more money. So there's lots of things. You really have to become a savvy shopper. Also, when they say they have these doorbusters where people will line up, my goodness, around the holidays, it's always something like this that's being offered. Well, so frequently they won't let people know how many of these items that they have. It's very limited. You don't get a rain check if you've been standing in line since 3 a.m. in the morning. And so consequently, it reduces your opportunity of getting the product, and especially if it's electronic. You know, they've actually, and some of the research that they've done, they've found that these special items that are on sale often will be a derivative, which is a lower quality version of what is normally sold. So what's your best bet? Do an online price comparison using the model number. You might find you just pay a few dollars more, and you'll get the product you really want without having to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to stand in line to get the special. Also, liquidations. This is a big one. And I've known a lot of people that when they've gotten to these liquidation sales, they are often very disappointed. Sometimes you get real lucky. But just because a store is going out of business doesn't mean that you're going to get a special deal on everything that is on sale there. A lot of the liquidation sales are handled by outside companies, and they get a piece of the dollar that is made on every item that is sold. And I know someone that had a business that used liquidators, and they ended up themselves with literally nothing. The liquidators made more money than the actual owner of the store did. So when you're in these situations, just be wise, and you may find in some instances that prices have been jacked up, believe it or not, causing you to pay more than you would otherwise. So this is a suggestion that was passed along. Visit the store before the liquidation sale starts. The retailer is still in charge and slashes prices to hold on to as much revenue as possible, and you might be able to make a deal with the person that actually owns the store. That person or salespeople, they will be happy to negotiate some kind of a deal with you. Liquidation is always painful for a business. It is never fun, and it always is meant to be done so that they do not have any more of a loss than absolutely necessary. So liquidation sales, be wise when you are doing it. So those are just a few tips on how to make your money work more effectively. Health is always something that we want to be sure that we cultivate. This is our personal responsibility. In our world today, with all of the fervor over health coverage and so many different things that are coming out, it's up to us as consumers more and more to become educated. And here on the Donna Sebo Show, we have some of the most knowledgeable people in the country, even in the world, that have been able to give us up-to-date information about nutrition, about research regarding wellness, and how we can take better care of ourselves. Well, I'm always interested in any information along these lines. I'm not interested in the hokey-pokey stuff. I'm really interested in really good research that gives us something to work with, something that can empower us when it comes to understanding what we need to do for our children and for ourselves and for our environment. I think that all of this dovetails together. And again, I have some fabulous guests coming up that are going to give us some insights on what their area of expertise is. But I came across this report regarding fish oil. And I'm sure you've heard about it. My goodness, cod liver oil was something that years ago people would give to prevent rickets. Why? Because children were not having the bone strength that they should have, or the women. You know, it was just terrible. Well, add that to the diet, the bone condition went away. Cod liver oil is still one of the best things that you can take to keep bone strong. It's great for kids. Well, there have been a lot of studies done, and in our world today, because of technology, those studies actually can be more efficient than they have been in the past. But they found that all of the commentaries about omega-3 fatty acids, that say it's good if you want to prevent heart attacks and strokes and slow the formation of plaques in the artery, and it's good for blood pressure, well, they find that it's good information that's been put out, but we need to go further. The benefits of apparently the omega-3s extend beyond the heart, and they are doing some extensive research on how the fatty acids of the omega-3s benefit our body entirely. Now, there's a university at Barcelona that showed that obese mice that were on a diet enriched with omega-3s displayed improved sensitivity to insulin. Now, this may sound a little strange, but if this study holds true for people, the insulin response could translate to a reduced risk of diabetes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You take a capsule of 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s a day, and that can have a big effect on you. Well, also, there are scientists that are gathering evidence that fish oils improve cognitive functioning. This occurred last fall when an American and a Canadian team reported on three different studies in which infants were randomly fed standard or very high omega-3 formulas. Those that had the higher doses of the omega-3 were, the children performed a lot better on problem-solving tests. And in Sweden, they found that teenage males who eat fish weekly have intelligence scores 7% higher than those who eat fish less. I wonder what they found out about the women. For some reason, I guess they didn't feel the women needed to be checked out there because we already have so much intelligence. But anyway, I wanted to also tell you that they feel that consuming fish more than once a week correlated with intelligence scores that were 12% higher than those of infrequent fish eaters. Something I was reading and researching just this morning was concerning, digressing for a moment, mercury and fish. And in the studies, when people ate fish, for some reason, the mercury didn't stay in the body. Very interesting study. So that'll be coming up next month. We'll be talking about that a little bit. But getting back to the omega-3s, they have found that there is a particular acid that is in omega-3s that is very protective and beneficial to the body. And there's just so much of this that is evolving because we have people that are asking questions and wanting answers. And it's something that has been known of for quite a while, but we're finding out why the human body benefits from it in such a positive way. And it's very, very good for dry eyes and for people that have asthma as well. Fascinating stuff. So keep your eyes open. Be willing to read. Be willing to learn. You're the one that's going to benefit when you open your mind to the world of growth, development, and knowledge that is ever expanding. We never get there. We're never going to have all the answers. But wow, we sure can have an adventure of exploration in the process of discovering how we can treat ourselves better and have a richer life. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about kids. Oh, these kids are driving me crazy. Dr. Swanson is going to be my guest. We're going to give you some helpful solutions along that line. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna, wherever you are. Be safe. Take care in your driving. Don't be in a hurry. All this crazy weather. We want to have you back here again. Right here. Same time, same place. At the Donna Sebo Show. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.